Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
It's good to be together. Anyone, and this is going to be very simple, anyone know what these things do? I mean, they do many things. What do they do?
Too much.
It's a phone if you're listening to the recording. What's the main thing you do with this?
Communicate.
Connect. Throw it on the floor. Connect. Right, that's a good one. Anyone use this application?
Take a picture.
I'm not going to do it, okay, right? But you can see that.
Selfie.
Yeah, you can do selfie. Vicky's been doing some of those. Information. I'm going to stay on the selfie moment a bit because, you know, if we were to take a snapshot now of what was happening and then you go tomorrow, you show someone your family or at work. So, this is what happened. And they're like, oh, great. And but what do they see? They see us sitting here, staring into the camera. Kurt's eating. Jennifer's smiling. What's tidy, what's not tidy. But unless you really tell them what happened before and after, they don't actually know what's happening, do they? They get a snapshot of the moment, but there's a whole, that was a second at whatever time it is. But some of us have been here for hours already, you know, like praying, connecting, sharing, crying together, having fun together. And we will be here for, not hours, but for a bit longer. So you have a snapshot in time. It's like, oh, but there's so much more that's been happening. And I want us to have that thought as we think of some moments with God throughout the Bible that we had, which are snapshot of something that's happening all the time. So the Bible says in 2 Chronicles, his kingdom is eternal, right? God is eternal. When did he start existing? Eternity ago, and he will continue. All of that can blow our mind, that's right. So there is an eternal, like, I don't know, time is here and here, but eternity is beyond that. So just trying to imagine that this eternal realm, and God exists, and there's worship in heaven. We know that from the Bible. But every moment we read about someone having a vision of heaven, or, you know, all the first few chapters of the book of Revelation, John is like, whoa, I saw the Lord, and I was on my face like a dead person, because it's like him in his glory. Or we think of Isaiah chapter 6, and he's like, oh, in that year, King Isaiah, I saw the Lord, he was high and exalted. Was he not exalted before or after? Was he not exalted? My arms are long enough, right? He was exalted eternity ago and he's exalted then. And then Isaiah had a snapshot. I don't know, he probably didn't have an iPhone, but he was like, he would have captured it, right? But he's like, whoa, I saw the Lord high and exalted, and there was worship and they were crying holy, and this was happening. And I realized, he says in that moment, I'm an unclean person. Like, who am I, you know? And the people I'm around, like the nation or whatever, is who's going all over the place. Like, oh God, we're unclean. Now, Isaiah was living his life. That realm was very real. But there was a moment, right, where those two connected, and Isaiah in his earthly existence had that connection with that eternal, like, whoa, God, you're, you know, all of that. Okay, remember that moment. And then there's probably other moments you could think of, but I'm also thinking of Jesus, and we would call it, you know, the story of the transfiguration. So he's just spending time with the Father, and two people are watching, his two disciples. And then suddenly there's Elijah, there's Moses, and he's talking, there's glory, there's a cloud, there's a voice. I guess someone said this recently, and I'm thinking that, you know, Jesus was spending time with the Father every day in the morning. They don't know what happened. I wonder if he had more of those, you know, he came from that, right? The eternal Word of God before time, of, you know, he, in that he came to earth into our time, space, existence. But then he has these connection moments where, I mean, he's walking with the Father all the time, right? But there seems to be a particular moment where he draws aside to pray, draws aside to connect with God. And now there's two other guys with their iPhones. Oh, we need to take snapshots of this moment where Jesus is in the cloud, in the glory. But for Jesus, that was what he knows. That was home. Yeah? Yeah, okay. And then I've mentioned earlier already, you go fast forward a little while, and you have John on the Isle of Patmos, and he just has this revelation. And we're not going to go into all of it this morning, but if you read the first few chapters, he's like, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Like, I don't even know how to describe. And he's trying to use things that he knows how to describe, the colors, the sounds. I heard, you know, the sounds as mighty as rivers of thunder. And it's like, well, how do you describe what I'm hearing? Because he's hearing something here that, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So they are snapshots, but actually it's been happening all the time. Yes. Wow. So when someone, we use this phrase as born again or comes to know God or is saved, it's already there. It's already, you know, obviously Jesus paid for it. It's all there. And suddenly they connect in. It's not like suddenly Jesus is like, oh, let's save that person. No, it's all there. It's all present. And we want to connect in. So when we talk about, and we're going to go into a series over the next few, however long, weeks, months, about the kingdom of God, the kingdom life that we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our transition, kind of, you know, been talking about the Holy Spirit. But even with that topic, we can be so, oh, what does God do in me? I have a word for you. Do I have a word? Do I have the Holy Spirit? Do I not have the Holy Spirit? And we can get so caught up with so many things and we want to grow in the Spirit. But when we realize the kingdom of God is this massive, ever-existing, eternal, his rule and reign, that's the kingdom, right? Where the king rules, where he reigns, then topics like, oh, Holy Spirit, faith, healing, they don't become a thing in itself out of context, but actually they become this, well, there's a king, he rules and reigns. Okay. He has given us his Spirit to work out his rule and reign. Okay. So for me now, just connecting to some of the weeks back we've had, to hear a word from God, it's not, oh God, are you out there? No, he's very present and very secure and he's very much on his throne. I saw the Lord, transfiguration, like these things, he's very, this is normal for him, right? But what I'm doing in my earthly, timely, spacious existence is I'm connecting in to the, God, I want to know you. I'm praying, I'm worshiping. What am I doing? I'm lifting my eyes off this and the Spirit in me is connecting with heaven, where actually that's my home now. Not heaven as when I die, I go to heaven, but right now the kingdom, yeah, Vicky's getting it. Yes, Vicky, come on. there's an eternal realm that I'm then connecting in. It's like, God, would you speak? What do you see? What do you want to say? That's what we're receiving, right? But also in terms of, you know, we talked about healing and miracles. And if we hear that out of context, we're like, oh, I need to try and believe for a miracle. But what we will hoping or what we're believing that will happen over the next few weeks is that as we realize his kingdom is very secure, it's unshakable, Hebrews 12 says, that to pray for someone to be healed as a son and a daughter of the kingdom, identity, we'll come to that at some point, is actually saying, okay, there's an eternal realm in myself, like silver and gold I don't have. I would love to give you some, right? But actually what I have, yeah, now that I've been born again, come into the kingdom, I've connected with heaven, I have the Holy Spirit, not just a little Holy Spirit that I have, the Holy Spirit has come to live in me that connects me up, right? That I can walk in constant fellowship and communion with God and I can just walk around and I know him and he walks with me. And John 15, we've said it in the beginning of the year, I remain in him, I remain in the vine. I don't plug in and out, right? That's the other thing. I know I talk about moments that impact us, but I'm now connected up to this eternal realm and I just say, be healed. Now, I need to grow in that faith. We probably all need. And when Clive was here, he gave us a bit of an infusion of that. But can we think of it not as I'm trying to pray hard that I have faith that Kurt count as him, but actually I'm realizing there's a kingdom which is unshakable, eternal, everlasting, and it doesn't lack anything. And I'm as a son of the kingdom or a daughter, you know, family. You know, Jesus says, for all those who believe in me, John chapter 1, he gave the right to be children of God. And that is what we are. I love that bit. That's my favorite. That is what I am. So I'm now a son of the kingdom and the glorious kingdom of God then comes through me. So when Jesus came, I'm halfway through my notes and I haven't started really. But when Jesus came, what did he say? What was the message he said? There's that particular phrase. He shows up on the scene and his message is, yeah, the king's at hand. So it's not like one day it will come or this, that, the other. The kingdom is here. And I'm sure a lot of you would know this, but it was messing with their brains because they were waiting for someone to overthrow the Romans, to sort everything out. They were waiting for a political solution and kind of, there was a lot of anger, a lot of emotions and all of that. And Jesus comes and it's just this, you know, gentle, humble of heart, but very much authority. So, oh, you're bringing a kingdom. So are you going to come with a horse and a... No, I'm riding on a donkey and I talk to family. But he was making clear it's a kingdom that comes in and then works through. And it's not a kingdom of an authoritarian, let's take over and take control. It's the kingdom of humility and servanthood, but to the king, and then there's power. Yeah, so sometimes we, I don't know if you've done this, I've been, you know, oh, I'm going to work myself, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to have authority. Actually, it starts with, and I think Caroline had this word a few weeks ago, but the glory comes when we surrender. Or something like that. I'm taking it, the words maybe slightly different, but it's, I surrender to the king and I walk in his ways, then there's power. Mm. Not to make me look good, but because I'm here to serve and I'm here to love, right? We get the context? Eternal, awesome realm. And that gives us confidence. I don't know about you, because that's not about how much faith have I got or how much this have I got. It's like, I've got not faith in me, I've got faith in you, Lord. You are eternal. And then that comes through me. So God wants to remind us today that we are carriers of that glory.
Amen.
We are carriers. Just say that. I'm a carrier.
Amen.
I'm a carrier of His glory.
Amen.
You know, these big aircraft carriers, they have lots of stuff in them. And we were in Portsmouth with Andrea's parents the other day. They have these ships, these aircraft carriers. All the stuff, hundreds and I think a few thousand people, crew and this, that's happening. That's who we are in the spirit, like an aircraft carrier.
Amen.
And they go through all the, how many jets and helicopters are on there. And I forgot once they've said it, even though I've done it 2 or 4 times. But it's like, oh my goodness, this thing carries. And they're going to send one actually, sorry, little Portsmouth note. They've sent one, I don't know where, on a mission somewhere now. And there's another ship following it. And they've been in there for months. But it's the... They are carrying something, right? But in the spirit, just see yourself as this aircraft carrier.
Amen.
Like you've got resource, you've got life, you've got hope, you've got power. But let's go back to this idea of moments with God that we connect with Him, right? Even earlier, we were worshiping. And I personally, maybe you had another moment, I particularly felt connected with God just when we stopped singing the songs, actually. And there was just a sense of awe. And I said, no, I don't want to stop yet. I just want to look at you a bit more. I just want to lean in a bit more. I don't know, maybe you've heard it during a song. The lyrics were amazing actually though. But it's just that, I'm in awe of you, God. And that's called, I mean, you can do it in different ways, but that's drawing near to Him, right? Where we're not going through the motions. We're not just doing this, that, and the other. We're actually, God, I just want to connect with you.
Yeah.
My heart's after you. I want to seek you. I want to find you. And somehow it's this mystery where I have the Holy Spirit, I have God, I know Him. But as I draw near to Him, something happens to me that I leave different. There's a sense that I carry Him and His glory in a different way,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. God actually gave me a phrase yesterday, and this is a bit strong, Lord. But I'll share it, I wrote it down and hear it in love. I wrote, if we think we've arrived, we've actually just chosen to settle for where we are. Yeah? That's encouragement and challenge to me, maybe to some of you. If we think, oh, this is the Christian life, I've worked it out, I know this, I have this theology, and you know, I've been to this conference, and I've ticked those boxes, and other people don't actually know what I know, and I've really got it, right? We just need to be careful, however true that revelation it might be, that we just don't fall into pride, and we just always humble. Jesus was the... You know, He had all the revelation, right? He was like, you know, I can tell you about heaven and stuff. But he knelt down to wash His disciples' feet. That was His expression of that love. And right? So, yeah, just felt God say, if we think we've arrived, we've actually just chosen to settle for different reasons. And we could all find reasons for that. But God always wants to draw us deeper. And then I have these two questions. Do we believe that He's generous?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, yes. You know, like, where's He going with this now? We're getting ourselves into one. Do I believe He's generous? Yeah.
Yes.
You know, He's lavished His love. He sent His Son to die. Like, that was not the shortcut and cheap option. That was the best He had, He gave. And then this other question, will He be found if we seek Him?
Yeah.
That's a logical, this is how my brain works, right? So if He's generous and ready to pour, and if He says, seek me and you find me if you seek me with your whole heart, He has already positioned Himself to do that, then I know it's a sobering thought, But the bit in the equation that's then maybe a bit of a challenge is me. Like, how often am I distracted in life and just going about my day, or worse? And, you know, you can relate to that maybe, but my heart starts going towards other things. So it's not like God has changed. He's very secure. He's very much the same. He's positioned himself to give. And yes, God always loves us, right? Don't get me wrong. But there's a place, I think, where it's so easy, and the Bible calls it being kind of lukewarm in different ways and stuff like that, where our focus actually goes like maybe first like this and then like that. And then before we know it, we're over here. And I still go to church and I still know my stuff, but my heart's actually wandered. And I just felt, sorry, I just feel like God's just, maybe we just close our eyes and then I don't feel like you're looking at me. I just feel like God's saying, come back. And I don't necessarily say like, and if you are, then please come back quick. But I'm not even saying we're living in sin. And maybe you're aware, okay, there's areas of compromise and I just don't want to talk about that. Let's move on. Like, God's putting his finger on that stuff. Not because he doesn't love you, because he knows if we don't get our house in order, if we don't sort our relationships and things, we just won't live in his fullness. And then we're asking him things, but he's actually like, come on, like, you know, there's a story of him clearing the temple. That's what he does. Like, it's, you know, he was overthrowing those tables, not because he suddenly lost his love, because it wasn't right. And what was meant to happen in that place, and now we are the temple, obviously, it wasn't right. So he wanted to restore what was right. But maybe in other areas, some of us, and me included, and let's go on this journey. It's not just today, but Holy Spirit, show me if there's anything in my heart where I've just wandered from you, where I've taken my focus off you, where I know the verse, seek first the kingdom, but actually I'm also seeking quite a lot, maybe money or this or status or influence or being known or social media or whatever it is that triggers us. I don't know. But Holy Spirit, help us, and Lord, forgive us where our hearts have wandered. And like we were praying earlier, Lord, I want you to be my first love, my only love, actually. Forgive us where we haven't really been seeking you, where we've just, oh yeah, I go to church, or I'm a good person, but I'm not in there hungry for you. Thank you that you never condemn us. You never push us away at all. But it doesn't mean you're not grieved. Lord, forgive us where we've been proud and we say, oh, I know it. I have that theology. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. Rather than just, okay, God, you know, and I'm just going to love. I'm just going to serve. And if I need to say something, I will. But it's not about my opinion. I'm just here to love. I'm here to serve. I'm here to be part of the body and the family. Lord, I pray for that true, beautiful humility of God in our hearts. That, like it was said about Jesus, he was humble, gentle of heart. But there was authority, there was power, because he was a son and he walked in your ways. And if we think of salvation as Jesus says, I'm the door, salvation is the doorway into the kingdom. Salvation isn't the end goal. Sometimes in the church, it's been preached like, oh, it's all about salvation. You get saved. And then, okay, what do I do now? Well, salvation is the door. You're saved into a kingdom life and kingdom story. Now there's family business. Now there's kingdom business to do. So actually now the prayer is not, Lord, save me. We are now saved, but Lord, use me. Lord, what you want to do? Teach me your ways. Show me. How do I live my life? How do I steward my relationships? How do I steward my finances? How am I a giving person? How am I not influenced and changed by the world, but I'm being transformed by you and I'm changing the world? Lord, maybe where we've grown a bit stale and we're not actually changing the world around us, whether that's an individual or a group or a workplace, Lord, we just come before you. And in one sense, I can't pray this for anyone, but just respond in your own heart. God, if I'm not salt and light, if we're not salt and light, Lord, thank you that in your love you don't condemn, but restore us to a place maybe that I've never even been in. Lord, where we are so salt and light, that wherever we go, people get changed. people get impacted, people start crying because the love of God is so real and they want to forgive. And suddenly there's a change of from anger and bitterness to love and forgiveness, Lord. I'm hungry for that, Lord. I'm hungry for that. Lord, forgive us where we are not effective in you. And it's not that you're condemning us, you're just calling us higher. You're just trying to wake us up saying, come on, guys, if you lean in a bit more, I can lean through you a bit more. And Lord, I thank you that you want to use us in so many amazing ways. Amen. And Lord, but it's out of love for you. It's not even to say, well, as a church, we've got this amount of people and we're doing this and look at my spiritual hit list. No, Lord, it's because we love you. And as we were actually praying earlier, Lord, if that love has grown even a little bit cold or you're one of many things in our lives that's important, Father, would you forgive? And would you restore such love that is so burning that people are like, what's wrong with you? Like, you're so full of joy, you're so full of peace, you're so full of life. It's because our first things are first. Mm. And thank you, Lord, that then surrender becomes a joy. Because while we're losing out on some things of this world, we're actually gaining you. You know, it's this, take the whole world, give me Jesus. I want you, Lord. And I just pray this verse into our hearts and over our lives. Seek first the kingdom. Amen. The eternal, awesome, glorious realm of God. Seek first the kingdom. Teach us, Holy Spirit, over the next few weeks and months, and obviously for the rest of our lives, but teach us, help us have a humble heart, help us have ears to hear what you're saying. Help us have eyes to see, not filtering, but hear from you, be impacted by it, be changed by it. And then Jesus, like you always say, if you're just hearers of the word, it doesn't really do much. It's doers of the word. It's putting it into practice. It's letting your life be changed by it, washed by it, transformed, and then you work that out. So Lord, whatever topic we get to, whether it's prayer and kingdom authority and faith and power, or whether it's thinking about practical things in our homes and our finances and our gifts and even loving people in a kingdom way, not in a selfish, worldly, let's see what I can get out of it. Oh, Lord, teach us kingdom ways, because there's power. Thank you, Lord, that your word says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk and this, that, and the other. It's a matter of power. It's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Lord, that our experience and what happens in our lives and through our lives is the kingdom's at hand. Here it is. I might not have this, I might not have that, but I can give you the kingdom. I can release this. And I thank you, Lord, that you want us to come into a place where there's an ease to say the kingdom's at hand. The rule and reign of God is at hand. But it starts in our own hearts. It starts in our own lives. If he's not king in my life, I can't expect him to rule and reign through me. I know, Lord, you have a lot of grace for us, but help us that you rule and reign in our lives, Lord. Amen. Rule and reign in me, Lord. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Cool. Well, just receive that. A few more things I want to share just in terms of, because we're all starting this journey together, and give some more insight. But I was thinking, I was praying, God, I don't want to just give a good message. I don't want to just tick the box. Don't want to just go through the motions. We need to always just connect with you. Snapshots. Again, let's think of the Bible. Think of the Bible. And you see then God wanting to, you know, he creates. Let's start here. Beginning of time, right? Our time, not his time. He's always been there. Book of Genesis, he creates, he makes. And he sees it's good, but I don't know about you, but I just then see that longing of, yeah, but I have to create humanity. I have to create a human being. I want to connect with them. You know, he's done the ocean, he's done the stars, he's done the Rocky Mountains, whatever he did. But he's like, oh, I want a relationship. He's relational. He's always relational. So it creates humanity. And I was meditating on this the other day. Like, he walked with them. in the cool of the day. They heard the sound of the Lord. Like, wow, that's cool, eh? So it's like, yeah, God, you want relationship with us, right? But just let's go on the story. In relationship, you walk with them in his glory. He said, I probably should just read it rather than trying to say it, right? Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. What does he look like? Well, I don't know. And we're not supposed to, you know, draw him and stuff. But he's glorious. He's awesome in his own image, not just kind of what he looks like on a picture, but think of his character, his nature, loving, patient, kind, but holy, but full of joy, like full of life, you know? Like, wow, I don't even know how to imagine that. Anyways, in that image, he creates us and says, I want to know you. I want to walk with you. And I'm going to give you a space and a domain, all of that. And he says, he created them male and female. Just thought that one in. And then says, and this is going to reoccur. I'm going to just whiz through a few stories a bit. But it says, God blessed them, verse 28. And he said to them, actually, before I read it, isn't that beautiful? Again, God's heart and his position towards humanity then. Like, he creates, he loves, he connects, and he blesses. That's his heart, right? That's God in an Eden state. And then he says, what? Be fruitful. Increase in number. Andrew read it in the prayer meeting in a similar scripture. Be fruitful, increase in number. That's his heart. Increase. Let's get out there. Let's fill the earth. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish and the sea and all of those things. And that's also part of his nature. In the right way, the ruling, the authority, the not just see what life does to me, but, you know, I'm serving a king who's in charge and he's within me. But we also know, and I won't go through the whole Bible, but then like the next story is how the enemy is trying to then undermine. He can't take the glory and he can't take my sonship away. That's too late. It's legally established in heaven. I'm a son of God. But he's trying to undermine. Did God really do that? Is he really good? Did he really say that? Come on, like, you know, and oh, life did this and this to you. Don't think so. And obviously we know the story kind of, it goes downwards from there. And rather than glory in God's image and nature and character filling the earth, it's sin that multiplies and sickness that multiplies and all those things. And obviously we know, just a little thing, on the cross, Jesus was like, let's restore. That's our word today. Thanks, guys. He's like, right, let's restore. And the Bible goes into very much detail of the first Adam and the second Adam, right? We won't go into that today. But Jesus put right what was lost there. But now it's for us to rise up in that authority. We'll go into that more over the next few weeks to say, okay, I'm not having it then. I'm just not having it. And that's often our first step, to choose not to come under that. But okay, no, God's word over my life is be fruitful, increase, multiply. Obviously, from this point, things go a bit funny and people don't walk with God, but they're kicked out of the garden and it goes downhill. But then God finds one man. His name's Noah. Anyone heard of Noah? I'm just seeing if you're still awake. Sorry. He finds a Noah and it says he's a righteous man, Genesis 6, blameless. And he's like, oh, that's what, and just imagine the father saying, oh, that's what I've been looking for. Like these people are, well, literally, killing each other, there's violence, there's all that stuff. But I found someone, this is God saying, looking at Noah and saying, that was my idea, right? That's what was, but that's my idea. Someone walks in my ways who honors me. He's blameless among the people of Israel. He walked faithfully with God and he had family, Sam and Yafid. And it says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, full of violence. Not that God didn't love it. God didn't love the people, but they've chosen to go that way, right? But he found Noah. God saw the earth was corrupt and what it had become. So God said to Noah, okay, reset. Let's try this again. I'm going to put an end to everything. And we know the whole story with them building an ark and all of that. But it's because God was like, that's my idea. That's a distorted image. But let's get back to this. Apparently it took around 100 years and building the ark and there was, you know, opposition and stuff. And the ark was open for 7 days and then God shut it and like, right, okay. Let's clean sheet. Even after that, you know, fast forward, they start again. God's heart is then in Genesis 9, verse 7. He says to Noah, as for you, be fruitful, increase in number. We've heard that before. Multiply on the earth, increase upon it. So he sends out his sons into all the different directions. And you can, I don't know, go back to some history study of what those nations become and things like that, where the people groups come from. But it's again God's heart. He said to Adam and Eve, "You're made in my image. Go be fruitful, multiply. That's my heart," right? Things go funny, but he says, "Okay, Noah, right, let's do it again. Be fruitful, increase, you know, multiply my glory." Then we have Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel, and there's pride and selfishness and confusion, and God has to scatter them. But then Genesis 12, there's Abraham, and God's like, "Right, okay, Abraham, you're my man. We can do this." And obviously with Abraham, we get a whole lot of promises, and God actually saying, "Okay, this is going to go like this all the time. I'm going to have to bring Jesus, the ultimate kind of restorer. And he's going to come through you." But what does God say to Abraham? Sounds very similar. It says, "I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. All the people on earth will be blessed." So God wanted to reveal himself to Abraham and individuals, but then actually to everyone. So I know, we know he chose Israel to be a nation. He says, "Set apart that you will reveal my glory." And that's also up and down, right? I'm not going to go through the whole history, but just think of our own lives. Yeah, I can be up and down. I can still, in Israel, they might have still gone to the festivals and done the worship and this, but God's saying, "Hey, I want your heart. Where's your heart? You offer me praise with your lips," but all of that. So lots of challenge in there. Thank you, Lord, for that. Obviously, then Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and God's saying, "Okay, let's be generational. Let's be family." And that's how God wants us to think now. It's not like, "Oh, there's a good preacher there. There's a good church over there." This is kingdom family, right? Mm. So think of kingdom, think of God the Father. I don't know if he has a beard, but just think of the children's image of, but God the Father out of the eternal kingdom realm looks down. What does he want to see? Family. This is his family. So once we're, the Bible says no one can see the kingdom unless they're born again. Salvation is the door. But then what God wants to see is family. So he doesn't look at this church or that church or, he wants to see his people pure and holy, walking with him, walking in what he's designed. Obviously, again, things go wrong over time and Israel keeps coming back and whatever. But he says then in Ezekiel, "I give you a new heart." Yes. And I'm like, "Oh, thank you, Lord." We mess it up a lot, but new heart, new spirit, sensitive, tender. And then it says in Ezekiel in verse 27, "I will put my spirit in you." That's where the Holy Spirit things come in that we talked about. "And I will move you to follow my decrees." So when we seek him in our own time and we just, or together as well, but also in our own time, it's like, "God, thank you that you've given me that new heart. I don't have a heart of stone. I have a heart of flesh. Thank you that I'm sensitive to you. Thank you, Lord, that your word says you would move me to follow your decrees. You'd move me to follow your ways." That's what God wants now, for his ways to be outworked. But it brings us back to the king and his rule and his reign, and people kind of do their thing, we do our thing. But what he's looking for is, okay, who are those who will set themselves apart? Who is he who will devote themselves to be close to me, right? It's that drawing in, that call. And we want to start this kingdom series with encouraging is the best word, all of us to say, "God, here I am," with all the possibly mixture or with different thoughts, ideas, things I'm pursuing, help me to seek your kingdom first. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just close our eyes again. We like doing that. And just reflect for a minute or so, or a moment, just on what you've heard, something that stood out to you, and just in your own way, just respond to him. Yeah, Lord, I want to be hungry and thirsty for you. Out of love, not out of striving, not because I'm trying to earn something. No, we start from a position of, "I'm a son, I'm a daughter. I'm loved, I'm accepted, the cross did it all, not even a question. But now I want to hunger after you, Lord. I want to know you more. I want your kingdom rule and reign in my life, in our lives. I want to be so submitted and walking at one with you, Father." Like with Jesus, he said, "I don't do anything on my own thing. I don't just do my thing. I'm just here to speak what God gives me. I'm here to do what he gives me. I lay my life down." Lord, I thank you that there's a sacrifice and cost, but a joy in laying down our lives before you. And the fullness that you then bring to us, but through us. And I just want to lay hold of that promise that you have for all of us. If you seek first the kingdom and living in righteousness, it then says everything else will be added. So God is not saying those things don't matter, or he's just spiritual, not practical. That's, you know. But he says, as you put first things first, miraculously, in whatever way he will do it, he will take care of everything. And so, Lord, we thank you for that promise, that as we position ourselves and draw near to you and say, God, you're first. You know, I'm not living perfectly, but I'm going to incline myself in a fresh way. We thank you then for the promise that you take care of everything. But not just to survive, not just to just about make it, but to thrive, to live in abundance, to, and then you speak that over us, like be fruitful, increase, multiply. And that's our personal lives, that's our family lives, that's us as a church, as a big kingdom family, be fruitful, multiply, and live in my glory. And so, Lord, we also want to pray, we just want to be hungry for your glory in a fresh way. Not just to celebrate the snapshot Isaiah had and that person had, or we have a nice morning this morning and good moment in worship. I want to constantly, Lord, lean in, because that thing is going on. There's worship going on in heaven. There's encounter, the throne, the fire in front of the throne. I want to constantly lean into that. And I thank you for your encouragement then, that more and more I'm a carrier of your glory. Thank you that we are. And Lord, I just want to speak a blessing over all of us, that as we go into our weeks and be with family and work colleagues or friends or whatever happens, wherever we find ourselves, we are blessed and we are carrying the glory and we're carrying that flavor of God and that flavor of the kingdom, that love of the kingdom, that faith, that wholeness just is spread wherever we go. Jesus echoes the same kind of thing, and we're not going to go there at all today, but he says, go into all the world, spread it, you know, and he says some other things, make disciples and release it, teach them, like let them know, bring the kingdom, bring the kingdom, bring the kingdom. He sends them out, says, go and say the kingdom's at hand. And Lord, I just thank you that the kingdom's extending and will extend through our lives more and more, because we just walk with you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.